Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network, and we've got another great show. I wanted to get a few announcements out of the way first before we bring Tolek on, and he's an Earth human representative of the Andromeda Council, an intergalactic, interstellar, and interdimensional governance and development body of aligned benevolent star systems and planets of sentient intelligent life. For worlds both in the Milky Way and the Andromeda galaxies in deep space, this governance body is known by its ambassadors and diplomats as the Galactic Council. He's been given the name Tolek as an Earth-based public persona name by five people with whom regular communiques are, you know, contactees are also stationed, you know, with the primary Andromeda Council biosphere. And he's currently authorized his first book, We Are Not Alone, Communion with Higher Dimensional Life, a Heart-Centered Experience. But before we go into this, I wanted to make just a few quick announcements to get this out of the way. There's a lot of events unfolding here. I'm pulling them up right now. We're going to have our first Skywatch weekend, May 11th. That's coming up. And the Self-Mastery Workshop is May 26th and 28th. And we've got Michael Tellinger and myself in June 9th and 11th. And those are the major events. The conference is coming together, and it's going to be crazy. We've got amazing speakers coming up. But it's esetievents.com if you want to get more information about what's happening here at the ranch, esetievents.com. And I also want to share, just yesterday we filmed a helicopter, a black helicopter here, chasing a UFO. And it's kind of hilarious. It's like a no contest. And we get that quite often here, and the helicopters are coming here, and they're trying to chase off the UFOs, and the UFOs go past them, you know, at several thousand miles an hour, and, you know, appear and disappear and pop in behind them, and they have to turn around and come back, and it's kind of interesting, you know, but you would think rather than chase them around, they would start kind of trying to contact them, you know, in a benevolent way, but for some reason, we just haven't figured that one out yet, but you know, when you see a ship do a right angle turn at several thousand miles an hour and leave you in the dust and appear and disappear, one would think that it would be a really good idea to make friends with these people, because they're far beyond our consciousness and technology. So with that being said, I want to bring Tolek on the air. Tolek, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Good. Hey, thanks for having me, James. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, there's so much going on. I mean, I know you have your friend, Donna was going to be with us, but she's on a major move to Arizona, so she won't be joining us.
Right.
And I know you've got some major conferences coming up, and you know, we can just about cover anything. But I want to get your take on, you know, have you noticed that things are just stepping up like exponentially? It's just, they were really slow and they're dragging, and then they went really fast, and then we had a lull period, it seems like, and now everything is moving forward at a rapid rate. And you know, the closeness of the UFOs here and the activity is really stepped up, and so is the resistance. I mean,
sure.
At the same time,
a few of the things that I've been told over the past few years leading up to this year, 2017. Included the fact that this was going to be, and it looks like it's turning out to be, a year of incredibly massive change, and change manifesting at a rate that's, we were kind of walking around shaking our heads going, how can we keep track of all of this? Certainly, you know, anybody that's paying attention to what's going on, both in the States and in the world today, from a geopolitical perspective, it's almost mind-numbing.
Yeah,
it really is. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, sure. I was saying, speaking about mind-numbing, we've been getting chemtrailed so heavy here that, I mean, I've been getting this brain fog, and everybody else has it too. And I know it's the chemtrails and whatever they're spraying, because, you know, the aluminum and the barium and the strontium and all those things create, you know, the heavy metals create all kinds of, you know, dementia and things like that eventually. But It's amazing. I've been having trouble recalling names. I'm doing things to clear that out of my system, but you know, names are just on the top of my tongue that I've always known, and things like that are just gone, and it takes me a while to bring them back.
I know. You speak of chemtrails. I have a friend of mine who is retired these days, and he's probably been retired, I want to say 12 years. So he's like 72 or 74. He lives in the Chihuahua Desert, which is in far southwest Texas, a place that has far more cattle than they do people, a little bit north of the Big Bend country. Mm-hmm. And I was having a conversation with him about 3 years ago, and he said, "You wouldn't believe what I found." So I'm like, "All right, tell me." He said, "After a rainstorm we had here recently," and he said, "You know, we get the chemtrails here too." Mm-hmm. He said, "After we had a rainstorm recently, I went outside and I saw in my rain barrel, catchment barrel, a whole bunch of water, of course, and this sort of ugly white milkish film on top with some color to it." And he said, "You know, given where we live, there's no industry down out here at all. And there should be nothing in this water, you know, because this is a rain catchment barrel that's just out in nature. It's sitting at the edge of his property." Mm-hmm. So he took a vial of this water and he stuck it in a packet and sent it to a buddy of his who's still working, I think, in the University of Texas system in one of the labs. And he basically said, "Hey, Frank or Fred, whatever his name was, would you please check out this water and tell me what you find?" So his buddy came back to him about a week later. He said, "Where did you get this stuff? Strontium, barium, aluminum," and a whole bunch of other, you know, nasty, inert and organic goodies that shouldn't be in that water out in the middle of nature in the Chihuahua Desert.
human red blood cells, you know, in the water. You're going, okay, now how did human red blood cells get into the water here, you know, and the samples and things like that, other than them being sprayed, you know? So, pretty crazy stuff going on. But, you know, are they giving you any indicator on when this whole chemtrail program is going to end? Because I know the CIA and the deep state is behind it, and along with the globalists, and that they basically own the, you know, the Air Force, the Navy's a little more on top of things, and they're more benevolent, you know, they're on the more benevolent side, but they got the real technology. But I'm just curious if you've heard anything on the other side about when they're going to end up doing away with this mass genocide program.
Yeah. My people on the council have always said that there will come a point in time in the future when we are about to go through what people call the event, the shift, or all sorts of other names for it. But it will be a time of significant earth changes, even greater than we've had in the past 4 or 5 years, a time that we haven't hit yet. At that time, there will be great disruption in the governments and in life in general. And that will also be a time when whatever word you want to use, the cabal, the powers that be, the Illuminati officials that have been running things for years, that they will no longer have the power to execute their plan. Mm-hmm. That's when the kind of things like chemtrails and other things will stop.
Yeah, I know they're dropping like flies right now. And I know Bill Clinton's in the hospital and he's on his taking his last breath. It seems like he's not too far out. Wow. And, you know, Rockefellers are dropping. And
Right.
Who knows? I think Hillary's not too far behind. And a lot of these guys are just having all kinds of serious physical ailments. It's like their technology is not keeping them alive anymore. And I think it's because they're not frequency specific to the evolution of Earth, and that their own frequencies are taking them out. I mean, they're not matching the...
That's a really good point. Yeah, they're not matching certainly the rising frequency of what's happening on this planet as it continues to rise.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I think it's just a matter of time, you know, where, you know, I always tell people, you know, time's on our side. You know, these guys are finished. They just haven't looked forward in the timeline to see what happened to them.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, and in terms of their masters, the people that were pulling the strings up at the top and giving the orders for many years, the non-human ones, they classically are, they're kind of like the, here we go, the names. The guys from the Star Trek universe, not the Romulans, not the Vulcans, the big hairy guys with the ridges on their foreheads.
Oh, the Klingons.
Klingons, thank you.
Yeah.
They're kind of like the arrogant Klingons of the universe, albeit reptilian. They are so arrogant that they refuse to believe that their time is coming due.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it is, because quite honestly, their own unique lower vibrational signature will not be able to tolerate the shift that's coming, the higher frequencies that are coming onto this planet. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
So
and I know,
you're very accurate. When you say time is on our side, you're very accurate about that.
Yeah, I know that they've cleaned up the bases. There have been a massive cleanup, you know, with the underground bases around the world. And I know there's a guy circulating a weather map, and he laid over the underground bases where they all are, and he said, look at this. Every one of them's on fire. Every one of them is glowing, you know, and it was really interesting. And that was in March, you know. So I guess there was a huge, eviction order given, you know, where they told them over and over, you're done here. You need to leave. And, you know, of course they didn't, because of their arrogance. And then so they dealt with them accordingly. But I think there's a massive cleanup from the top down. And now the puppets, you know, the puppet masters are being taken out. And now the puppets are just floundering. You know, they don't know what to do.
Yeah, well said. Yeah,
go ahead.
It's okay. There, as you know, there's a vacuum in power, as mm-hmm. all of the puppet masters have been taken out. And this number is still pretty accurate based on a conversation with Simon Parks over in the UK as of a few months ago. My knowledge is that there are approximately 72-74 pure reptilians left, and the remaining 50 or so reptilian human hybrids that are pulling the strings. That's it in terms of some total mm-hmm. left on this planet, when at one time there were tens of thousands.
Yeah.
And the bases, there were there were at least 15 undersea bases and a couple of underground bases that the people from Procyon Planet Cana took out over the course of about a year and a half period into the middle of 2012. And those were purely reptilian run and operated bases. Those are gone.
Yeah.
So the bases that are being taken out today are the Illuminati official, the remaining puppets that are pulling the strings, to use your words.
Yeah.
You know, they may have a few reptilian officers kind of hanging around, but these are primarily black ops, secret space program, deep underground, deep undersea, primarily human run, deep underground, deep undersea bases.
Yeah,
they may have a few reptilian officials, but they're primarily human run.
I've noticed that, there's been quite a flurry. What they told us and some of the work that we're doing, which pretty soon I can talk about. I can't really talk about it, but it has to do with the RV and clean up the energies around that to get it going forward. But we've noticed that the lead players in this that are trying to turn this planet around are being constantly attacked and harassed and with these forces and all kinds of disruptions happening and moles popping up and you know constantly. But I found is quite interesting is that there's what they were saying is that some of the higher dimensional beings were actually thanking us. They said, thank us, you're smoking them out, you know, you're pulling them out where we can get to them. So they said,
right.
we're kind of using you as bait, you know, in a way. And which I don't mind as long as they take care of business and hopefully do it before they take a hit. You know, I'm getting tired of taking the hits from them. But anyway, it's pretty interesting what's going on. But they're saying, yeah, there's some really dark, well hidden, well camouflaged, you might say, pockets left that they're cleaning out. And And they kind of catch them every time they come out and disrupt, you know, the chain of events that are going, you know, towards the awakened healing process.
Yeah, absolutely. I also believe that we are still going to see some kind of a false, you know, whether we're going to call it alien or ET reveal. I'll reference Carol Rosen's knowledge of what. Oh boy, here I'm going with loss of names. The guy that came over from Germany.
And Wernher von Braun.
Wernher, yeah, I was thinking Willie, so I was close. Wernher von Braun and the rocket program. The five cards. Well, we're dealing with the terrorism card right now. I think that's number four. And the fifth card is a fake ET or fake alien invasion. Now, what my people have told me is you will likely see a fake ET slash alien invasion, complete with numerous UFOs showing up, likely with human reptilian hybrids who come out in the open and speak and introduce themselves to the public, portraying themselves as good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people that in this genre that believe that all ETs, all evolutionary, higher evolved ETs, maybe only with higher technology, that these ETs are all benevolent and that they're all like 7 foot plus, many of them are, but that they're all Nordic looking, or that many of the ETs that we'll see first will be the good benevolent with a B, Nordic looking ETs. Well, I'm here to tell you, they may look that way, but that's not their agenda. The first reveal will likely be either an ET reveal, and if they don't get what they want, there's going to be an attempted invasion. But they're already here. Their craft are either out in Earth space or underground on this planet, and they've been here for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, as you know, there are a lot of higher dimensional people that are here on planet or underground. They have their own bases that have been here for thousands of years. The same thing with these human looking, albeit hybrid ETs. I would say to people, don't listen to all the promises they make about healing you and bringing you great technology and bringing humankind into the next, you know, the next millennium, whatever the promises are going to be. Watch what they do.
Yeah.
Don't
exactly.
Hear what they say. Watch what they do. Watch what their actions are. And
it's
that
kind of like
will be
politicians.
Well said.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've been saying that about a lot of people in the field of ufology. You know, I said, forget about what's said on the stage. You know, what are they doing off stage? You know, and how are they treating their staff? You know, and how are they interacting with people? And who are they rubbing elbows with? You know, if they're rubbing elbows with the cabal, you know, and the elite, then there's a very good chance you might want to start, you know, reevaluating, you know, what you're supporting and what you're involved in.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, I also wonder, I don't have an answer for this, but I also wonder, internally, how people like William Tomlinson,
yeah,
and Corey Good, and there's another gentleman. I think his name is Mark. He's a super soldier.
Mm-hmm.
He was his public name was Captain Randy Kramer.
Yeah.
But these guys who are true whistleblowers, because they used to work for some segment of the DOD or in the military or in deep space secret programs, and they're being allowed to speak. And it's, I'm wondering how is it these guys are still alive?
Yeah, good question.
I don't know the answer to that. They pose a unique problem to the powers that be, because they're revealing information that is critical to people's awakening and their enlightenment.
Yeah.
And yet they're still alive. They're still telling their stories.
Well, either they have some protection and the white hats are want this information out, yeah, or they're another what do you call it, like they call it planned trying to think they have it
like a planned release,
planned opposition, you know, like they'll shake their fists at the government and everything else, but they actually work for the government, because you have you have to do that. If you don't give people a savior, they'll revolt. And if they think somebody else is doing everything for them, then they'll just sit back and cruise, you know, and that's a tactic that they play. And I'm not saying these people are that, but I'm just saying that there are some people, a lot of people within the field of ufology that are either knowingly participating in steering, you know, controlling the information, release of information, or steering people away from the truth, or they're unwilling participants or unwitting participants, and they're just parroting something that somebody else said, you know, and they're not aware of what's going on. And it's sad, you know, because, you know, I've run into that a lot, where especially where people, you know, the nuts and boltsers who have these government contacts and things like that, they want to keep everything military, secret, space, fleet, nuts and bolts and things like that. But it's so far beyond that, you know, that, you know, they can't go there. So they have to make it wrong. You know, they have to make it wrong. And they're working for the censorship program. They don't even know it, but they're actually willing participants in censoring the information.
Right. Because if it's so far out of the consideration of what would be the norm in their world, that they'll make fun of it.
Exactly. And they know that too, the people that want to keep this thing under wraps. They even said that. They said, you know what? We don't have to do anything. The UFO community is doing it to themselves. You know, which is interesting. But it's kind of sad. But, you know, I think we're getting to that point where people are going to finally start working together and sharing and realizing that, you know, even Michio Kaku said, you know, we might be looking in the wrong place for UFO. We might be start looking in other dimensions, you know. So the top physicists are aware of this, of what's going on, and they're out. They're right. Stepping outside the box.
Right. I'd like to share with you a couple of stories, if I may. I've known this woman I call my adopted sister. We've known each other since, I think, 1995, spring of 95. And as part of her story, she tells about a time after some contact when some high-placed entity criticized her. I don't remember the man's name, but he criticized her for making up these stories. And there was a gentleman that came forward. I believe he's a colonel in the United States Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm paraphrasing the story, but essentially this man, this gentleman, the colonel in U.S. Air Force, said, do not criticize what you do not know. This woman, Adana, is the real deal. And the information that she has shared with you about her own ET contacts is the real deal. Our government knows about it. You will leave her alone.
Nice.
And that's essentially what this colonel said.
Yeah.
And the person at the receiving end went, okay.
That's
shut his mouth and walked away.
Yeah, there are some white hats in there in the military, definitely, that are aware of what's going on. And unfortunately, a lot of it's compartmentalized, so a lot of them don't know. I had a colonel call here, and he said, he goes, you need to stop talking about this nonsense. And I said, what are you referring to? You know, and he said, all the UFO stuff. He goes, you know, this is all nonsense and you're just spreading a bunch of BS, you know, and things like that. And I said, so, you know, he said his name, you know, this is Colonel something, something, you know, and I go, really? I said, so you're a colonel and you have no idea about what's going on here. I said, what are you, outside the loop? You know, and he got really quiet. He got really quiet, you know, and I told him, I said, hey, look, I said, you know, I said, I know the people that back engineered this stuff, you know, the lead scientists and things like that. And I said, so I said, for you to tell me this doesn't exist, I said, that's like like I like back in kindergarten, you know, for me.
I said, yeah.
And it was really funny. He said, so he got really quiet, and, you know, and the first thing I said, you know, he kind of like was making some demands. And I said, well, that's only I can say is, can you spell civilian, you know, like this, like I'm not under your jurisdiction there.
Right.
But anyway, he, you know, he kind of calmed down, and I was just, you know, I think he kind of admired that I wasn't getting upset or angry or anything. I was just being having fun with him. And then, so I was laughing about the whole thing. I go, are you serious? Like this. And then, so finally he goes, I just wish we could catch one of them, you know? And then, so I started talking about it, and I said, you're not going to catch one of these. You might invite them to come hang out. And if you meet them with respect and love and joy or you know, some higher consciousness,
right.
I said, they'll hang out and they'll probably share things with you, but you're never going to catch one. I said, their technology, I said, they know your thoughts before you even decide to do something. Basically, they know the future, you know, it's like, they're totally right. Telepathic. I said, when you think of something before you can pull the trigger or do anything, they already know what you're going to do. And they have the ability to stop it, you know? So I said, you know, your ships have gone up there and come back without any armaments on them. You know, they were dematerialized. Mm-hmm. So I said, it's not a problem for them. So I said, you know, in the interest of national security, I would say, you know, and military intelligence, I would say it's not real intelligent to be shooting at beings that are, you know, that advanced, that are way beyond, you know, us technologically and spiritually. But
correct.
I said, it's like going after a lion with a pea shooter, and you're going to piss it off eventually, you know, and it might swat you, you know. So, and that happens every once in a while. One of them gets swatted, you know, just to show them you're out of line, you know. So.
Right. And you were kind, and you didn't tell him to go check with some of his higher ups because it might be out of his pay grade.
Yeah, exactly.
Because usually
you're in the wrong department, you know.
Yeah, those guys would look at him and go, listen, it's on a need to know basis and you don't need to know. Just send him away.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have loved to have sat this guy down with now deceased Colonel Corso.
Yeah.
Who was responsible for sharing in his book, was it The Day After Roswell?
Yeah.
All of the information about the different DOD companies, including McDonnell Douglas, Texas Instruments, and a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, I mean, people go, well, I don't believe in UFOs, you know, and I go, well, you know that computer you're sitting at?
That's right.
Where do you think that came from? You know, so, you know, your microwave oven, you know, where do you think that came from? You know, it's like, it's really funny, but people don't realize that a vast majority of our technology actually came from back engineering crash ships, you know, so, and Corso explains all that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was having a conversation with the gentleman who's the commander of the Primary Andromeda Council Biosphere, one of many conversations, and we got onto this topic of technology, and he stopped me because I asked the question. He said, do you realize that... essentially, the answer to your question is the following. If your people had not received all of this technology that you now have in your hands, that isn't all the devices that you just mentioned and more, that you would be functioning today. Now, this is in 2015, he and I were having this conversation. You would be functioning today at about the place you were in 1975. That's how technologically evolved you would be, having been left alone to your own creative forces, to your own devices. We would only be at about 1975 today. And what was then 2015 when we were having a conversation? I was astounded.
I know one thing, what I've always said is that, the main reason that I would like to see, you know, disclosure happen, and because they do have these healing technologies and they do have free energy and fearless energy, and, you know, they have not just anti-gravity, they've got counter-gravity and they've got jump rooms and all that stuff.
Right.
And our own secret space fleet has that stuff. We all have that technology. And I go, well, what would this planet be if that was released to the, you know, to the masses, basically? I said, you know, we'd have clean energy, our air would be clean, our water would be cleaned up. We could super oxygenate the water and crystallize the oxygen and suspend it in the water and create a incredible healing technology. That, you know, the water would be our medicine, basically. And, you know, you could grow enormous food without all the pesticides and herbicides, everything, all that technology. You can use that technology to grow, you know, food twice as fast and nutrient, you know, and based and or energy, like high energy food, you might say. But, you know, we have all that technology now. But I think we're in the process. Actually, Trump actually signed an order to release all these patents, you know, to
the public sector.
So that's going to be interesting when that comes out. I don't know if that takes effect. I don't know when that takes effect, but I think that's unstoppable. You know, all this stuff is—it's already out. You know, the cat's already out of the bag. So,
yeah, and I think it's just a matter of when we start to actually get our hands on, you know, on the day-to-day use of alternative technologies. You know, including—I find it really interesting that in the year 2017, it's no surprise to anybody. The predominant majority of us are still driving combustion engine cars that run on gasoline.
I know.
And they've got the price point of gas just tolerable enough.
Exactly.
People won't revolt over the price of gas because it's accessible, we can get to it, we can put it in our tanks, and it's not hurting that much. And I think the powers that run the energy companies are going to keep continuing to keep that price just kind of where it is.
Yeah. And, you know, the sad thing about the pipeline and all these things, you know, running these pipelines through lakes and rivers and, you know, they have a long history of busting and falling apart. But and that was one of the things that kind of ticked me off about Trump. You know, he's doing some great work in a lot of areas, but environmentally, I think he's really dropping the ball. But, you know, it's not about business, you know, not to be political, but you know, we don't need the oil. We haven't needed the oil since Tesla, you know, even before that, you know, and so, you know, let's just stop, you know, yanking all the oil out of Mother Earth and giving her plate something to slide on, you know.
Well, that's a really good point. You know, it's not only what we should be is responsible custodians of this planet and of the beings on this planet. What we as responsible custodians of this planet should be doing is attempting to preserve the longevity of this planet and the efficacy, the livelihood of this planet as long as possible. And instead, we allow industries like oil and natural gas to take out that natural lubricator, the cushion for the plates, which is oil. The oil and natural gas provides, you know, what would be cartilage in our knees, essentially acts as a cushion between the plates. And so what do we, you know, not us, but what are these energy companies doing? They've been sucking oil out of the planet for years. And that's just going to exacerbate all of the problems that are coming in terms of earth changes.
Yeah. Well, the fracking too, the stuff, you know, they won't say what they're putting in the, you know, the fracking, you know, to bring the oil out and the gas out and the stuff they're doing with that. But, you know, a lot of people have leaked it and they said they're using like Agent Orange and things like that. And then all the people are turning their faucets on and all the animals, their hair's falling out. They're having all these sores, their hair's falling out, all the byproducts of basically Agent Orange. And, you know, not to mention, you know, gas coming out of their faucets, you know, when they try to get a drink of water.
Jeez.
But it's like at what point do you just say, how lame can you get? You know, how utterly retarded can our government get? And how long will they sell their own souls and the future of our humanity and the children and the next generations? How long can they do this and how far will they go before, you know, the people rise up and just say, look, you're not our government, you know, you're working for somebody else. And I think that's the whole problem, you know, on the planet right now.
I think we will see that kind of change and I'm not pausing to choose my words carefully, I'm pausing to be accurate. I think we'll see that kind of change once the level of Earth changes on this planet becomes so extensive and creates such change and difficulty for the people, not only in the U.S., but around the world. The people who live on this planet will come to realize that the governments can't help them.
Exactly.
Once they fully grasp, once they fully intellectually and emotionally grasp that the governments really can't help, as an example, as evidenced by Katrina down in New Orleans.
That's exactly what came to my mind when you said that. I go, well, right? Just research Katrina.
Right.
And they actually stopped people from trying, you know, whole trucks full of supplies and things like that. They turned them around. They didn't let them come in and unload. You know, when the private sector tried to help, they turned them around and said no.
Wow.
You know, so what? It's not just they can't help. They're actually choosing not to help, and they're choosing to stop those who want to help. So again, you know, we need to do some research on that and definitely fix that problem, because when people are trying to show compassion and empathy and help out their fellow man, and when they step in and stop that, then there's something seriously wrong with the system.
There's been something seriously wrong with this system for years, because you know, you would think that at least from a compassionate and logical perspective, that the most intelligent, the most forward-thinking, the most compassionate people would be the people running what we call the government. And I'm sure there are some of those people in what we legitimately call a legitimate government, but they're far, far and few between. And I think some of them, they've been part of the system for so long, they don't know how to act any differently, because the world of politics has its own rules to its game.
Mm-hmm.
And well, the people don't.
Yeah. Well, also, there's an old saying that when you climb the ladder of power and wealth, you know, the higher you get, the darker it gets, and then the more controlled it gets, and then you start moving into kind of demonic child sacrificing, some really ugly stuff, and people don't realize that's in religious institutions, it's in business institutions, it's in political institutions, all of those institutions. When you climb that ladder, it gets darker and darker as you go up the top, and unfortunately, there's a lot of really good people serving the beast that don't even know they're serving the beast.
I can personally attest to that. I at the latter part of my career, when I was still wearing a suit, coat, and tie, I was in international banking. I happened to be an operations guy. So I had knowledge of BSA, Bank Secrecy Act, all the aspects of AFAC, and there are a whole bunch of others having to do with international banking. And I can share with people numerous situations that I found out that not only walked up to the line, but crossed the line in terms of breach of ethics. And there finally came to be one certain situation where either they were going to make me play according to their rules, or I had to resign. And I resigned.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't resign, they were going to take me down.
Yeah, that's kind of what's been happening.
I was happy to do it, but I spent 17 years in the healthcare software industry, and then I migrated over into finance and then eventually international banking. And my closing statement on this topic is, I've never in my life seen or experienced the level of lying and fraud, you know, what we call in the business world, as I was exposed to in international banking.
Yeah.
It was hideous.
That's why they call them banksters, you know, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's happening right now with this global, you know, the reset and all the other stuff going on. It's just that these guys, I mean, you've got white hats and people trying to turn things around and stop a big global depression, you know, a global collapse. And you have these other guys pushing to make it happen because they want to collapse everything and put everybody back into serfdom and pick up everything for like a penny on the dollar.
Right.
So you've got two elements going there. And what's really interesting, as I can probably talk about it now, is that a whole group of guys tried to hijack this thing, and they're on a plane together, and they're all toasting, you know, yeah, we got them, you know, we put a back door in and we stole all the funds, and they're all toasting. When the plane landed, they were all dead. They're not one of them, you know, whatever happened to them didn't affect the pilots. It didn't affect, you know, and everybody that was in the plane was accounted for, but they're all dead. It's like their soul was just removed, you know?
Wow.
So they don't realize now. It's like there are, and these guys had no respect, no empathy, no, you know, they could have thrown the whole planet into, you know, chaos and everything else, but they didn't care because they got their funds, you know, that was the level.
They got
of
their money.
Yeah, no remorse, nothing, you know, they're all, yeah, we screwed the whole planet, you know, we're going to be rich. And when the plane landed, they, you know, pilots walked back and everybody was dead.
Very interesting.
I
had not heard that one.
I asked about that later. You're not going to hear about this in the mainstream news, but I asked what happened. And the higher, it's kind of an interesting thing because you have the benevolent Anunnaki, you know, the ancient ones. And they're coming in and they're forcing the fallen Anunnaki to clean up their mess. And so some of the fallen Anunnaki are using some means that the benevolent ones might not necessarily use, you know, to clean up the mess and turn things around. And so that's part of their role or whatever, is that they'll be given, you know, amnesty and kind of rehabilitating things, but they have to clean up their mess. And I think that's what happened in that case, is they have that kind of technology. They just went in and yanked the guy's souls right out of their bodies. You know, said, you're done here. You know, go back to the source. We're just going to take your energies and recycle them, you know, because there's no purpose of good for you to continue. And that's pretty much what happened.
It's a needed policing effort.
Yeah, and I think that's going to start happening on a much bigger scale, because these guys that created this mess from the top down are having to clean up their mess and what they did, and it's not optional anymore. So you're going to see a lot of the puppet masters are going to be pulling their energies from the puppets. They're going to be saying, okay, you're done. You know, we're not doing this anymore. You know, so the ones that they looked up to take care of them and provide them all their trinkets, you know, are actually turning on them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's been going on for a while. But because, as you're aware of, the pace of change is increasing almost exponentially, daily, weekly basis. These guys at the lower level who've just been executing the necessary orders, they're going, man, we see it. We got a short shelf life here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's a good one. Yeah. The cabal's short shelf life.
Right. Exactly.
It's happening, you know, but it is. I mean, tyranny has a frequency and greed has a frequency. And if that's the makeup of your being, you're operating from a very low frequency. You actually have no power because love is the ultimate power. You might have wealth, you know, and you might have to be able to pull some strings with your money and your connections, but that's not power. You know, that's just a manipulating tool.
Right.
But eventually everything they seek, which is they really want, you know, outside acceptance and approval and love and things like that, and joy, all the things they seek, they've actually sabotaged, you know. And so they're surrounded by people that really don't give a damn about them. They don't love them. They're just trying to figure out how they can capitalize on them, you know, or take what they've got.
Or take, yeah, you know? Yeah, piece of the action.
And yeah, so where was the gain, you know? It's like, you know, all the things you thought you would get, you know, the only thing you've got is sense gratification through material objects. That's it.
Yeah, and in a converse, positive comparison, think about all the times that you stepped forward to help somebody out, you know, whether it's a small event in that person's life or a larger event, really doesn't matter. But you recognize an opportunity to help somebody simply because it was the right thing to do, and you do it. And then somewhere down the road, at some other point in your life, somebody reaches out to help you in a small fashion. And the gift in that is incredible, because it's nothing you'd ever expect, nothing you'd ever plan on.
That's just
the beauty of how things can work in this planet when people don't have agendas.
There's a lot of things I've noticed, and, you know, not to go political or whatever, but I know Trump's done all these amazing things, you know, a lot of things that people never hear about, you know, and again, I'm not saying.
Yeah, he's not perfect by any means.
He's definitely not perfect, but he's done a lot of things that you never hear about and nobody even talks about, and he doesn't talk about it. He just does it. You know, and he's taken people in, he's gotten people rehabilitated, he's, you know, given people free room and board, you know, and fed them and everything. And he's done that a lot, and people don't even know about it because he doesn't brag about it. He doesn't use it as a billboard, you know. And the ones that people think are all, you know, philanthropists and things like that are actually the opposite. They'll do some little thing, which is to them is probably a dime out of their pocket.
Right.
And they'll blast it all over the airwaves and get a big press and cut ribbons and all these things, you know, and it's all publicity, you know, and it's all, you know, just pure ego and arrogance basically. But, you know, you see that all the time and you go, God, the it's almost like, you know, going to church one day a week and then the other 6 days you're screwing,
right.
Destroying the earth and screwing everybody, you know, it's the same thing. And unfortunately, you know, I like a lot of the Native Americans have a saying, you know, they said, you know, well, every day is Sunday for us, you know, we worship every day. We just don't have one day, you know, so and until we get past that, you know, and realize that, as you were saying before, let's look at the actions, you know, let's look at what they do off the camera or off the stage and do research before we get behind any of these people. And, you know, the same thing that I'm just blown away at this whole Soros thing and how many people have been duped into following this communist agenda and haven't done any research into what's happening in other communistic countries and how things have fared there and the history and how many people have been slaughtered. You know, it doesn't work. I'm not saying capitalism works either. There's got to be some kind of a happy medium, you know, like more of a republic that has more social values, you know, that you know, ends this total uneven dispersal of wealth. But I just see these guys walking around and being interviewed, and they don't even know why they're marching. They haven't done any research, and the statements they make are just unbelievably, I hate to say it, but just ignorant. It's just like what, you know, what? And they do no research on the people that are leading them or manipulating them. They don't do any research into their background. But what's good? The good news is it's all being, it's all surfacing. It's all coming out anyway. So,
right.
You know, with the frequency shift and everything, it's all coming up for people to see.
Yeah, I maybe naive, maybe, but I've always believed that to use an old phrase, the cream will rise to the crop. Sorry, the top. Cream will rise to the top, and it'll probably be and likely be in those times during the transformational shift of this planet, the higher dimensional shift of this planet, as things are going at just an incredible pace that we won't even be able to keep up with.
Yeah, I agree.
Those people who are true futurists, true leaders, who really only care about the lives of the people, you know, in their community, in their state, in their country, wherever, but that they're true leaders, that those are the people that will come forward out of all the mess, because it's going to be a mess first.
Oh, yeah. It always is.
As you know, the current structure, the whole thing has to collapse.
Yeah, it's not sustainable. It's impossible for it to continue, you know, under with these new frequencies. So, you know, it's like the Simantics or whatever, when the whole, when you kick up the energy, it goes into chaos, and then a whole new form, a beautiful form appears, and then you kick it up again, and it goes into chaos, and then it reforms in another beautiful pattern. it's the same thing, you know, we have these huge energy waves coming through and everything goes into chaos, and then it kind of resettles again and a new pattern comes in, and then we're going to get chaos again every time. Yeah. Every time an ascension wave goes through, you know, expect the chaos. That's what's going to happen.
Right, right. Yeah, the stuff that's not supposed to survive does not survive.
Exactly. I know we've got, we're coming up at the end of the hour, and I know you've got a lot of events coming up for on your end of the program. So can you talk about some of the conferences and some of the other events you've got going on?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And thanks for asking. To speak to all of the people that follow James and his work, the weekend of June the 3rd, Saturday, in a town called Clackamas, if I'm saying it right, which is Greater South Portland, Oregon, you, James, will be speaking alongside with me and Adana from Star Ancestry and two local people by the name of Taylor Vance and Herb Roy Richards. And that's in Portland on June 3rd. So the people that follow you, if they want to have a chance to meet you and speak with you offsite, you know, beyond eCity Ranch, they'll have a chance to meet you in person. And we priced it to be very, very affordable. It's only one day. The next weekend will be Adana and I and a very interesting gentleman, a retired U.S. diplomat by the name of Louis Elvinger, will be speaking at the an event in Mount Shasta on June the 10th and the 11th. And there's some other events going on throughout the summer. You mentioned Native Americans. I'm honored to say that you're going to be joining us in September, on September 23rd and 24th in Sedona for the 2017 Sedona Autumnal Equinox Celebration Weekend.
All right, so you've got Golden Light Eagle at that.
Yes.
At the conference. Yes. And
yep. September 23rd and 24th, Sedona Autumnal Equinox Weekend. Chief Golden Light Eagle, who is a Dakota hereditary chief, and he's the lead person for all of the Star Knowledge conferences. Mm-hmm. Grandmother Star Laughing Fox, who is a medicine woman from the Cherokee Nation.
Nice.
Yourself. Rod Bearcloud, who's of the Bear Cloud Gallery in the village of Oak Creek, and a gentleman who's an author by the name of Stan Hughes. And he's comprised of three Native nations, Siska, Kaskaskia, and Wilcomico. Also Cheyenne Stone, who's Choctaw and Shawnee. So it's going to be a really, really interesting weekend because of the confluence of all of these Native Americans and people who are interested in going to these particular events happening in the U.S. can go to my Transformational Shift events, plural, .com website and just click on the USA Special Events page. And as I mentioned, they're very, very affordably priced. Most of them are one day. The Sedona one is 2 days. Mm-hmm. But it's a chance to bring together some pretty incredible people, very, very gifted, who have some extensive knowledge, like you, like Donna, like many others, you know, knowledge that people aren't going to hear in the mainstream media.
It's funny, as we're speaking right now, a bald eagle just flew right over my place here. So I think that's a little omen. Wow. This is going to be quite a conference, but unfortunately we're out of time. But anyway, thanks for coming on the show. And I'm sure we'll be seeing you soon at these conferences and keep us updated on what's happening out there in the multiverse.
James, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. It's James Gilman with BBS Radio, As You Wish Talk Radio. Signing off. Have a great evening. Stay in the heart and watch the skies.